Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Hey, so this is Sarah Bradbury for Fred Film Radio, and I'm here in London at the Cinema Made in Italy Festival, and I've got the pleasure of speaking with Duccio Chiarini, and we're going to discuss his film, The Guest, which I think is screening as we speak, in fact. So thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you.
And welcome to London, I suppose. How does it feel to have your film showing here in the capital of the UK?
Thank you for having me with you, Fred Radio. It's actually great. I was telling now, opening, introducing the film. The Cinema Lumiere is where I screened my graduation film at the London Film School more than 10 years ago. I studied cinema here. So London, for me, it's a home, and it's a place I always come back to, and it's a particular pleasure to be here with the film. It's good to have people I know in the audience, and also just to be, you know, people I don't know, and the general cinema lovers in London coming for this event.
And for people who aren't familiar with the film, who haven't seen it yet, how do you briefly summarize what this film's about? What can people expect if they come and watch it?
Well, The Guest is a bittersweet comedy. It's a, I would call it a late, very late coming of age. It tells the story of a guy, Guido, almost 40, and after a sex accident with his girlfriend, proposed to her to have a kid while she has no intention to do so. And soon enough, a crisis between the two of them explodes, and then Guido decides to leave the flat as a gesture of strength, which actually turns into a point of weakness because she doesn't call him back, and he starts going around the couches and the lives of his friends. And from this specific point of view, he will look at other people's lives and emotions, and it's a metaphorical journey into relations nowadays.
And where did you get the idea for this story? Was this informed by something that happened with friends, personal story?
Well, the idea was, the original idea was tragically inspired by personal events, since I was obliged to leave a flat I was living with my girlfriend. And it was immediately on one of those couches that I realized there was something bigger than me there. It was something about relations nowadays, and this idea about liquid love, liquid society, what it really means in the end, because we all kind of familiar in saying this word is a kind of nice word, liquid. It's also something that normally has a positive influence, water, like a liquid environment. But in the end, it's really like struggling to not find anything to grab and anything you can count on. And literally, it was this my idea was to tell a moment of life, this passage of life in which a person with a specific background, hyper-educated maybe for the job he's doing, struggles with not having anything to rely on. Mm-hmm. And how bitter, I mean, it's not a tragedy, but it has a deep influence on the way we look at things and we look at ourselves. And so I thought that actually a late coming of age would be the best way to describe the generation I belong to.
He's very much steeped in Italian culture. There's like a lot there in terms of, you know, little references, very much kind of like a lot of the social aspects, but even perhaps some of the economic aspects of the labour market currently and what impact that's kind of had of people growing up and trying to make their way in the world during this time. So how much of that was important to you to kind of capture a certain feeling? Perhaps it's in Italy, but then how do you think that can also translate to audiences from other places?
Well, I don't have a definitive answer on this, in terms that I think it's a mixture of events, and I really don't know which one is predominant over the others. It's a fatal mix, it's a lethal mix of things. On one side, yes, it is true that the labor market is going downhill compared to our parents' generation. And every day you are forced to, obliged to accept compromises more than what they did. It's true, especially in Italy, but in other countries, that those things, they told us they were going to give us a work, didn't, because of technological revolution that happened. And so people with 2 or 3 degrees, they're struggling, while people with no degrees but just a good knowledge of softwares, they go to it, which is part of this big game. But it is a drama for people that did that pattern, follow that pattern. But overall, I don't even sure that this is the reason. And maybe why the other reason is that because there are so many freedoms, because the world is more explorable and it's easier to connect with other people, people don't want to take responsibilities. And so they blame it on the labor market. But instead, it's them that don't want the first one not to want to create a family. Mm-hmm. So it's complicated, and I'm not sure I know the answer to this. Because those ones that do want to have a solid relation and create a family, they still do it. It's more this generation, it's more the other people that are kind of insecure for maybe other reasons that are in this limbo. But it is true, at least looking around myself, that they are more and more.
So it's something that for sure might be the case in Italy, and there's some specificities about that, but then also it's maybe something that cuts across cultures.
I think it cuts across,
it's more
at
time
least for what my knowledge is, and looking at my friends who are from all over the world, and it's not something that I would say just happening in Italy. On the contrary, I think it's pretty universal, but depends on social levels also.
Something else I find interesting is, though we're predominantly looking at things from the perspective of Guido and kind of how he's coping with these situations, it's through him that actually we're getting a window into other people's relationships and other anxieties that they're having. And in particular, you know, so problems in their relationships, but there also seems to be an emphasis on women trying to figure out their role. You know, you've got his mother who's sort of panicking a bit about, you know, time's marched on and worrying about her husband. You've got his partner, Chiara, one worrying about whether she wants to have children or take on that domestic role. So do you think also that was something you were interested to explore?
Totally. My first film, Short Skin, was about a teenager struggling with his sexuality, but overall with his genre and the masculinity and what it's supposed to be a man. And so the idea that thing was to play with the weakest part, the strongest part, and in this case was the weakest part, his penis. And somehow I wanted to keep exploring this theme by analyzing a man in his late 30s, a man that is confronted with a different time of his life. And yes, the idea is to tell the story through the eyes of a kind of man that I normally look around myself. When I was rethinking the old film that changed from the first version, I happened to read a book by a Norwegian author called Karl Ove Knausgård. And in this book, it was interesting to see the struggle of a man with the idea of virility, what is supposed to be a man, what is man without virility. And because he's a figure it's that I know, and I kind of relate to, that a man that are educated from mothers which are more modern and so which have different values than our parents and grandparents, how do they react and interact with a more free figure of women? And so it, to me, it was interesting to talk also about this sense of loss of a certainty. It's not only Guido in this journey doesn't only lose the certainty of the role of work, of labor, the work of other people as references, but it's also the general role of females that fades away for him. And so totally, I think this is one of the keys that the times we, because most of the time when we, even in the Me Too era, even in the violence on women, those dramatic and unfortunately daily aspects of our life, we always look at the extremes of these cases, but we never look at the small daily routine. And in this case also at the way a decent man, a kind man, a suffering, a loving person takes and interacts with the new freedom that women fortunately have.
It also seems to me that genre, like playing a little bit with genre or cutting across different ones, or certainly the tone at least, was important to you. This kind of, you know, sometimes an irreverent tone, sometimes a little bit of comedy, but then it also can feel very emotional, and there is a lot of drama there. So is that something that you wanted to kind of play with?
I think if I had to identify a perimeter, an area I belong to, it's totally in between comedy and drama. what I really would like to do with cinema and by telling the stories that I decide to tell and put on the screen is trying to condensate what I look and what I see in life. And what I see in life, it's never a drama, it's never a comedy, it's always the two of them mixed together in the most weird ways. So this is what I'm interested in, the stories I'm interested in telling.
Because it also, I think, means the audience sits on this fine line between almost kind of laughing at some of Guido's, you know, actions and misfortunes, and that sort of comedy of kind of being on someone's couch while there's a couple arguing over the top of your head, but then also sort of feeling his kind of more somber moments and those kind of sadder, you know, more feelings of loss. Nick, we kind of
it's definitely that. And comedy, it's just another way to look at tragedy. It's to me that the real comedies are those where you can laugh about something because of the point of view you're having on it.
And what was the transition like for you going from a short film to this full feature? And, you know, how did you go about your casting process and work with this incredible kind of almost
ensemble? Well, the transition from short film to feature-length film was a few years ago. I made a first documentary in 2011, and then I made a short skinny, which was a feature-length, even if it's the short word in it. And it's a long transition. It takes a while to put up a script that has the trust of people and finance it. Thank God for the second one was faster. The casting process was, I would say, normal casting process. It takes a while. You need to find the right balances. And I think I found the right balances between the actors. I also wanted really to portray, it's not about a generation. I don't think I don't know what my generation is. There are so many different generations according to the instruction, to the experiences. I wanted to portray a world I know, a world I belong, a specific, as I said before, those people that went to the university, they had high expectations on their lives and eventually couldn't succeed necessarily. So I was trying to look for different aspects of those persons and different characteristics.
Mm. Did you have a particular highlight on set? This opening scene is pretty bold. That must have been quite funny to film, but did you have particular highlights or challenging bits?
I don't know. It was pretty intense ride. We had only 30 days, but were lots of pages. Some stuff I cut it out. That scene was interesting, but they knew it. I mean, we spent a lot of time doing more than even rehearsing, like reading and getting to know each other. So they knew that I was not gonna look for anything, you know, bizarre or extreme. So they knew what it was about. It was, I think, I really enjoyed shooting the scenes between him and Chiara, but also the scenes between him and Lucia, the pregnant friend, especially the ones in the hospital, that moment when the husband arrived. Mm. So I think all the actors did very well, good job, but Anna specifically, she impressed me for this naturalness that she has.
I think we're almost out of time, but maybe you can tell me quickly if you've already got your eye on your next project or what you're going to do next.
Yeah, I wrote a new treatment. I mean, I have a new idea I'm working on at the moment, and it will be about my home, I mean, the city I come from, Florence. It's again a story about a specific moment of passage in life of the family.
Mm. And how do you see the landscape for Italian cinema? I mean, you do have such like a rich array of types of films and incredible directors. You know, how do you see the landscape for Italian cinema?
Well, it's complicated. It's a bittersweet comedy because it looks like that we finally have a new generation of authors that they really took advantage of this opportunity to exchange looks with other filmmakers from all over the world. I have a feeling Italian cinema became again part of a more general world cinema, and it's a pity that cinema itself is going down as a place, as a institution. It's more films that you will watch eventually on your big screen at home, and it is what it is. I don't know if there is a way to stop this or to try to save it, the cinema as it is, but it would be nice to have more opportunities to have those films stay longer in the cinema.
Any reflections on the Oscars for the award season?
Not really.
Didn't love it or hate it?
No, I don't. I'm more excited when Berlin or Cannes awards are excited, to be honest. I don't want to sound too posh, but it's, I rely more on those. In general, it's the prizes. It's a very complicated award. So I can say that the Green Book, it's a nice film that I liked. I don't know much more about other films. It's an interesting way to keep doing classical Hollywood films, but it was well executed and the actors were really brilliant. So,
you ever do an English language film?
No, I would love to. Let's see what. In the next one, there's going to be some English speaking.
All right, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for sharing all that with us. And really hope you enjoy your time in London.
Yes,
and best of luck with your next endeavours. That's why I've been Sarah Bradbury for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.